Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Adam in the Eves. I'm Kevin Baird, and we're hosting a new episode or a new host, and we have a problem with scheduling of like what time the show is supposed to start tonight. It was supposed to have started at 9 p.m. Eastern time, but instead it started at 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is 7 p.m. Central Time, and so on. So we are working on trying to get our guest host in the queue here, and just getting things going. I think what I'll do is bring on one of Diane's tunes, Diane Arkenstone, and you can find out more about her by going to DianeArkenstone.com. Just check that out. Let's pick something. Go with Oh My Shanti by Diane Arkenstone, and we'll be right back with Dave Adams.
Hello, this is Kevin with Adam and the Eves. Who's this?
This is Maddie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm waiting for our guest to come on. He's out of Nashville and has some interesting connections to where he's going to talk about local celebrity and what's going on in the area, and also let it be consistent with our sort of like our mission statement, which is what are people doing now that they're living a life beyond the corporate cube. So while we're waiting, what's
they're
going on?
Life,
how can I help you?
What you say?
Yeah, what our mission statement is, what are you doing now that you're living life beyond the corporate cube?
The corporate cube, meaning being out of the...
C-U-B-E?
Oh, being out of the corporate world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought it meant, yes, okay. Yes, I've never been in the corporate world.
Yeah.
No, I've always been like a freelancer, pretty much.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. People get caught up in it and they have to stay because they feel like they have to stay because they have these bills they got to pay.
Right.
You create bills that you got to take care of, and what are you going to do?
They never get ahead.
I mean?
They never get ahead.
No. No, that's why the corporate world keep you back. Corporate world is designed to keep you back, hold you back.
That's right.
That's what it seems like. They never get ahead. And some people do break out of it and be bold enough to say, this is it. I'm going to do what I love, my passion. And they believe it. They go out and they do it, and it works.
Yep. It may not be the big bang that they were expecting, but it's in motion.
It's in motion, and the big bang sometimes takes a minute anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Otherwise it'll knock you down.
Exactly. Mhm. So I commend anyone that take a hold of their dreams and say, I'm going to follow my dream. And I think we have the power of the mind. The mind is so powerful. I think people focus on something hard enough and long enough and put a lot of attention into it, it's going to work anyway.
Yeah, like everything that's around us was created by a mind.
It was. Every little thing we take a look at, and you take a pet rock. I thought, now who would think of a pet rock? But the guy became a millionaire, possible a billionaire, from taking a rock.
Yep,
pet
and
rock.
The guy sort of disappeared. We don't know where he is. Does he have his own island now, or what's he doing?
Do you
sure
think sometimes it has to do with people just have good karma? In that respect,
nope.
when it comes to tapping into money, and, you know.
I think that people are here to teach us how to be and how not to be. And they're setting the example either as a positive one or as a negative one.
As a negative one, yeah. And the bottom line that we're all teachers.
Yes.
It's like the lady said to me one day, she said, we're all gifted. I said, yeah, I believe that.
Yep, we're ignoring our gift.
Yes. And that's when
if you hang on a second, I'll bring on Dave, who is the Adams and the Eve, and that he can share part of what's going on for him, too. Is this Dave?
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave, we were just talking with our other caller here, and I'm sorry I missed your name.
My name is Maddie. My name is Maddie. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
We were talking about karma.
Yeah, only about how many hours away? Is it about 3, 2?
From actually, he's in Clarksville, I believe.
Clarksville. I heard of Clarksville.
Right, Dave?
That's correct. Yeah. It's about 40 miles north of Nashville.
Yeah, I think I know of a well known psychic that moved from New Jersey, and I think that's where she moved to Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a big army town. Big place. I think it's like 80 square miles, something like that, 90 square miles.
Oh, wow, it is a big place.
I mean, wow. The whole area of the whole, yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of room to grow. They could fit probably millions of people inside of the area. So,
oh, wow. I've never been to Nashville.
That's a nice place.
I mean?
It's a nice place.
I believe it. I always say I want to go to Graceland. Is it Graceland?
No, that's Memphis.
Okay, one of them. Anyway. It's a lot of music, a lot of country and western music, right?
Just a lot of music in general.
Yeah. Well, that's happy.
A lot of different types of music. Yeah.
That's a happy place, then.
Yeah.
Because music makes you happy.
Yeah. Yep, well, they got some good players here that you can see for free that tour with, like, big groups, and then they just kind of go out and hang out on Broadway and play for tips, and they play in bands and stuff when they're not doing nothing, you know. So you
cool.
get to see really, 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 really top, you know, musicians. So.
Yes, cool. I definitely want to visit now. That is a Western Boots.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
A lot of good places to eat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, there's quite a few places to eat.
Yeah.
There's one place that Split Cafe. It's not right in Nash. It's just outside of. It's in Davidson County, but it's called Loveless Cafe. And that's a real famous tour place. I've never ate there, but I heard it's really good. They got world-famous biscuits there and stuff called the Loveless Cafe. You have to check that out.
Right. Does Dolly Parton live there?
She lives in the area.
She lives in the area. Okay. Good.
Yeah, she lives south. Mm-hmm. I think she lives south of Nashville.
Now, she was actually from the hills of Tennessee, right?
From East Tennessee, I think.
From the mountains, up in the mountains.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well,
so,
okay, then I'm going to listen.
Did you have some questions? Or did you just call to say
no,
hi?
I'm just going to listen.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm going to listen.
All
if
right.
If I do have a question, I will. What kind of questions are you taking?
Oh, I don't know. I was just curious.
Okay.
So, but anyway, well, thanks for tuning in.
Yes,
yes,
I love life. I love different topics. It helps me grow.
This is my first show, so it's going to be on different things, and I'll have music, some music people on, some celebrities like actors and stuff. I'll have them on once in a while, and you know, and have them talk about how what their passions, what they do, to
how they went about
being artistic, what kind of like advice or things that they could tell other people on how to pursue their dreams or how to, you know, get on that vibe of where they're at.
Yeah.
Understand? So,
that's a wonderful thing, helping others. That's wonderful.
So tonight it's going to be about dreams and reincarnation and how they tie in together.
Wow, your dreams. Your dreams while you were snoozing or your dreams while you're awake? Awake. I guess dreams either way, huh? Because dreams while you're snoozing tells you a lot, too. While you're sleeping, that's what I meant. Your dreams speaks a lot. I dreamt about money the other night. And I dreamt about money. I had a box with some money. It was some money in it, and it was... I said, wow, I got a $10 and a $20 bill, and the rest of them was ones. And I meant to play number. That's what I meant to do. I just thought about it.
So how many ones did you
have? I think it was like seven.
Okay.
I guess
so
it was like seven to eight ones. Pardon me?
So maybe you could, you had a 10 and a 20, so maybe like you could play a 10, a 20, and a 7, or I don't know.
10, 20, 7, then you can mix it up and play a 30.
Lottery, so I'm sure you could get lottery numbers out of that. But that might
yeah.
be good.
Oh, most definitely. You can. I could play 10, 20, then I can switch it up and do a 27, do a 30, and
so
do...
Or some opportunities that might come up.
Yeah,
you know,
I said, you know what,
even,
I'm going to...
Even if it's not an advertised opportunity, it could be an opportunity. Like the light bulb comes on and goes, oh, I can make some money doing that, or I can make some money doing that. So just keep an eye on different things.
Yeah. Yeah, the dream was telling me, I have money that's owed to me. And, well, I guess about a month or more ago, I dreamt about that the check was in my hand, and I was so elated. I was so happy. And I think that dream was telling me that maybe the money is coming. Because out of all the years, I never dreamt about it. And not only that, I'm thinking money, too. I'm using an affirmation every day about money. So money is on my brain right now.
Yeah, if you read about the law of attraction or, you know, the secret, and the woman that did the secret talks about how money, it's how we feel about money. Like when you pay your bills, like if you write a check out to like your company, say thank you or whatever, have a good feeling about money, because if it's agonizing because you have money going out, then the money won't come because of how you feel about money. And she said that if the world's richest people let all their money go and distributed it out, that a lot of it would come back to them just because of how they feel about money.
Yeah.
That vibe about money. So,
yes.
A lot of people all the time, you know, I have a friend of mine and she had a business and, you know, she has a nice house, and that's all she does is complain. Oh, it's just so hard on me, you know. You just don't know what I have on me. And you know, and she has this negative attitude. And
okay.
So she's had this attitude for years. So she keeps getting the same thing over and over.
Because of the negative that she keeps putting out.
Right.
Yes.
So,
but, you know, you mentioned the check. Writing the check, I always write in the memo where you, the little area where you say memo, always write thank you. I started that habit some years ago, and I just automatically do it now. And, yes, I believe that. I believe that people talk themselves or think themselves into poverty or they think those negative thoughts and that's what keep coming back to them. I truly believe that. They complain all the time, I ain't got no money, I don't have any money, I'm broke, or don't say that. I'm struggling right now. I said, don't say that.
But you have to be wise about money. You just can't go throwing it away.
No, you do have to be wise.
Either, too, because if you just throw it away, it's going to go, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So.
Now, that is true. You definitely have to be wise, because money does get away. I mean, you can break you can have a $100 bill and you break it. I mean, and once you start spend it one time, you have that change left over, and it goes. It's like then you have to like, where did it go? If you're not sure, I mean, I've known this woman. She will always write down where she spent her money and how much. So I said, what are you doing? She said, I want to know where my money went because I forget what I spent it on and it'd be gone.
I'm bad about that.
I'll admit it. Yeah. I think that's why people go broke. Like, I understand that a lot of the, I was talking to a financial investor a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that he worked with some of the, you know, football players and basketball players and how they actually go broke. They don't handle their money right. You're right, they don't handle their money wisely. They will go out and maybe spend $5,000 one night blowing it, just having fun or what have you. But I guess the more you have, the bigger you spend, and before they realize it, that a lot of them, they actually go broke.
Excuse me.
I said, I don't believe the millions of dollars they be making and they go broke. He said, it's true, though.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people go. Like in the lottery, you win $150 million cash, you get it cash after taxes. Well, if you're not pretty much a genius on what to do with that money, it's going to go away pretty quick.
It's going to go away. That's
but
very
lottery,
true.
Or a lot of it's going to go away. So if you win the lottery, you're better off taking the yearly installment if it's a large amount. You know, if it's $4 million, I'll take the cash. But, you know, if it's a lot of money, $80-90 million, you know, you probably get that in yearly installments.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, you're right. It's definitely going to go away if you don't be wise or have someone to show you how to take care of it. And you, investor, because wow. But in many cases, it is true. Many people have said, "Hey, it's only good for one thing." That's spin. And I said, that's true. That's very true. If you don't spend it, someone else is going to spend it.
So where are you located?
I'm in Georgia, Atlanta.
Georgia.
I'm in metro Atlanta area.
I've never seen a traffic jam in Atlanta.
You say you've never seen one.
No, I've never seen one.
You don't come often, huh?
Yeah, I'm kidding with you.
You don't come often if you've never seen a traffic. Traffic is, I don't care how far out you go, traffic is heavy because they're building up all over. Like, wow. It can become very aggravating at times if you don't think. If you let it get, it can get to you if you let it, you know. I concentrate on my music.
So
I may even cause traffic jam, yes. I have a friend that moved to Savannah, and he said no way he wants to come back to Atlanta because he has everything around him maybe a mile and a half away, and he said no traffic. It's very quiet over there.
Yeah, I got stuck on I-75 going through Atlanta for about 3 hours. But what I do here is I read the Horizon Oracle, and I'm going to pull a couple of cards for you. And what's your first name again?
Maddie.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm going to pull a couple of cards.
I didn't know you were a reader. Oh, it did say angels something. Didn't it say angels? Angels Heart Radio.
This is Mainstream Universe.
Oh, Mainstream Universe. Okay.
Yeah, Mainstream Universe. So I pulled a couple cards for you, and one is the 531 card.
One is the 531?
Yeah, and the other one is the 537. More, the one is Bloom, and the other one is Measuring.
531, 537. Hmm. 10, 15,
so, 8, 9.
You got some good news for me?
So, what it is butterflies, okay? It's like somewhere in a field or a butterfly landing on a flower. So the first light during the season of their flight, butterflies begin their day by taking the first opportunity that comes into view with their senses. So they land, they take their share, and they move on without the pressing need to finish the field by sunset, you know, and then resting at night. So you're in a thriving season.
So I'm in what you say?
You're in a thriving season. That means you're thriving in your area where you're thriving right now.
Uh-huh.
So there's things going on, but don't rush it.
Okay. I won't. Okay. Any specific thing that you see that's going on?
You're kind of someone's kind of someone, you know, stands with their hands on their hips and they're ready.
Hello. Hello.
We seem to have a little bit of a technical difficulty.
Yeah, you fade away.
We're waiting. Hi. This is Kevin.
I'm Maddie.
Are there?
Hi.
Yeah. Dave, something's, his connection is a little wonky over there at the, in the Clarksville area. It might be that they're shooting off cannons over there.
Oh, that's where he's, okay.
But he is still on the line.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did I fade out for a second?
Yes, you did, yes.
I might have to use another phone. But I'll try to do this one. This is on my new cell phone, and I dropped it the other day.
Okay.
So it just couldn't be the antenna. I don't know if you heard everything that I said.
The last thing I heard you say that I'm driving, but don't rush it. And someone had their hand on the hip, and that's not, and you went away.
Well, what it is, it's the measuring card. So what it is, it's a reality change. It's a snapshot image of how the other used to live before the new reality dawned on the horizon. Templates from the past are not helpful and should be left in the past. So something that you were involved with in your past, the way that you were living your life, just wasn't helpful for you anymore. And so you just moved into a different place. But if it's, that might be something that you need to look at, too, not to do anymore.
Okay.
Maybe some old habits or,
yes,
you know, things that you were maybe like changing a habit, like getting rid of a habit. It takes 90 days.
Oh yeah, I am changing. Yes, I see a shift in me. Yes.
Mhm. Well, that's good. All right. So that's what I see. And you got anything to add there, Kevin?
Nope. That's good stuff.
Okay. I'm gonna go back to the archives after it's over with and listen to it again. Although,
because when the readings happen, so much information comes through that it's hard to digest it all while it's happening, and that's what's nice about the archives.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true because you say, "Oh, all right, okay, very good." But thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, thanks for calling, Addie. Right?
Okay, no problem.
All right. You have a great night. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, yeah. So,
Kevin?
This has been and is a episode of, or Dave's first episode of Adams in the Eaves. So, you want to talk about yourself a little bit, Dave, and just let people know what's going on with, you know, in your background and how you're thinking about being a host for one of the evenings on our daytimes with Main Street Universe. You want to talk about that a little bit, if you want?
Sure. this is my first radio show, and it's going to be, you know, like tonight's topic is going to be about dreams and reincarnation and how they tie in together. I might have a celebrity on, an actor or a musician, and have them talk about their life and how their spirituality and the drive that they have for what they do, how that interacts with their life and how that can help other people. I'm 54. I'm from Detroit, Michigan originally. I've lived in different places. I've even lived in Western Australia for about a year, and I'm back now. So I'm the type of person where I'm always looking around the bend. What's coming next? You know, not afraid to take a chance. But now that I'm older and want to get a little more settled, and I have a lot to talk about. So. I now have a radio show.
So. Yep, that's awesome. So you are reading with the Horizon Oracle. What do you think about that so far? How long have you had it? What do you think? Have you had any interesting readings with other people with it? What's going on with that?
I've had it for about 3 weeks, and what was interesting is I pulled a couple cards for myself tonight, and that was the 101 card and the 530 card, and it was the win-win card and the spirit audience card, and the spirit audience card is a very interesting card because that talks about that their spirit from the spirit world that are around me right now guiding me. And the win-win card is I'm sharing something with another person. So this just plays out perfect with what's happening with the show and, you know, me coming on tonight. I just pulled it right before I came on.
Sort of a validation for you.
So I wanted to talk about, you know, where do we go when we dream? So let me get where do you think we go when we dream?
Well, I think the place that we go to when we dream is eternal, and that any living soul, or what I would call a metta zoa, or science calls us metazoas, which is multicelled organisms. M-E-T-A-Z-O-A, or also they've rephrased it to being M-E-T-A-Z-O-A-N, metazoan, like in human, that kind of thing. I think that the place that we go to when we dream is the place we come from before we were born.
That's interesting. Could it be that maybe we go close to that place, and that the spirits there, the people that are there in our soul group or in between lives, they help us with our emotions. We put our emotions and everything that we've had that maybe has gone on for a while, or and what happened at yesterday, and we relieve that pressure in our sleep. And maybe this helps us be separate, because we're human beings and we're all separate as we're in physical bodies. And in the dream world, that gives us a chance to breathe and be like connected in the spirit realm, be connected instead of being separate like we are when we're awake during the day.
That fits too.
So, how does this deal? So this helps us with our emotions. You know, this helps with our human minds to deal with our emotions and needs and wants, and it takes the stress off our body, going to that dream state. Would you agree with that?
I do.
So have you studied any other type of, you know, everybody that, Judaism or, you know, early, you know, late 19th century Freud, Carl Jung, the Egyptians, the Mesopotamians, they all believed different. They all had a little different view on our dreams and where we go and what they're about. So have you studied any kind of the ancient civilizations, what they did or how, what they did about what their views were on dreaming?
I have.
So what did you find out? What have you researched?
What did I glean from that, I guess, is that there's a common denominator in all of them, that it's not physical and that it can't be proven or disproven. And that everybody's aspect and perspective is valid, because it can't be qualified or disqualified. So all are true.
Yeah. The Mesopotamians, they believe the soul, or part of it, moves out of the body and actually visits the places and persons the dreamer sees in their sleep. Like you're actually doing what you're dreaming. And, you know, the Egyptians, they believed that dreams were like oracles, like they were bringing messages from the gods. What's your take on that?
Valid.
Because I know that they would go in the sanctuary and they would sleep on special dream beds, you know, just so they were in hope of finding and receiving like advice, comfort, healing, you know, from the gods. So do you think this special these special places that they went because they wanted to dream that they got anything extra, or they just went into the same place as everybody else does, and they just thought that it actually helped to lay on these dream beds.
I think they went to the same place everybody else does.
So, what do you think of, like, Freud? Like, he thought, you know, that they related that dreams were our desires, and of their desires, and they're related to, like, childhood memory. I mean, I just kind of have a hard time with just putting a hard.
He has a scientific perspective. What do you think the Native Americans thought about that?
That it was dreams were a guide on how to live their life, more like a guide.
Aren't you part Native American?
Yes, but I just don't correlate my dreams that I dream because, you know, I have, you know, I'm a descendant, you know. I just don't really think about it. I don't know why I would dream any different than anybody else. I don't really think about that.
I see.
So the dream world, that's where we create. That's where we create the constant. We create our physical world, our daily physical world. When we're awake, we create it when we're sleeping. What do you think about that? The Aborigines in Australia, we create our physical world from our dreams.
That sounds possible. Did you ever meet any Aborigines? I have not.
Yes, I have. I certainly have. I've actually met some from the territory, and I've met them in. We really hit it off very well because they can just see right through you. You know, they're earth keepers. It's just the way that they are. They just look at someone and they can just see right through them. And you know, I had one, and he went to church and stuff, but. He lived out in the territories, and we were riding on the train, and I was riding to Perth, and he was looking at me, and he looked, and he says, "Oh, yeah, I can see that you're part blind in your right eye," which I am. And he was just looking at me, and he said, "We speak from the heart." He said, "You speak from the heart." He said, "That's how we do. We speak from our heart." So they think that, you know, all creation arises from and returns to the dream time, which makes sense because when we die, you know, we go back to in between lives, and then when we're born again, then we're in another body, and then we wake up from our dream. So I think that death and rebirth is like the cycle of awake and sleep.
Right.
I'm just trying to get all your your take on everything that I've said. Okay.
That's good. That's good. So would you say that Clarksville is spiritual?
I think every place is spiritual because the Creator is everyone and everything. But yes, I do. There's a lot of caves. It's a lot of caves. And just a lot of caves in it. It's near the water. So we have the Cumberland River. Nashville is certainly a spiritual place.
Don't they have some kind of Greek Colosseum or something there? Parthenon?
No, the Parthenon in Nashville, yes, they do. It's the exact measurements and replica of the real Parthenon. It was supposed to be a temporary structure because they had some other structures from a fair in the late 1800s, and so they kept this one and they reconditioned it and they made it permanent. And they just recently, within the last 15 years, have done a lot of work to it. And so it's the same measurements, the way the columns are, it's the same exact. It's built exactly the same as the Parthenon in Greece. Now, they do have these two humongous, I think they're like 17-ton wooden doors, and they have those on there, and you can actually move them with your fingertip. That's how balanced they are. Now, whatever, they don't know what kind of doors they had actually on the original Parthenon, but there's a 40-foot statue of Athena inside, and she has her palm open, and Mercury is on her palm, and it's just phenomenal, amazing. And, you know, I think it's pretty amazing that something like that, being as pagan as it is, ended up in an area where there wasn't really much said about it. And so I think it's pretty cool. It's a nice place to go. It's a nice place to visit. And, you know, everybody that, all the tourists that come from all over the world, they normally go to the Parthenon, take a lot of photos. It's a pretty cool place to visit.
Yeah, but because it has the pillars and everything, it sort of has some, you know, some kind of celestial kind of power or energy, you know, because the people who were building it built it thinking that it would be some kind of spiritual thing, and therefore, you know, sort of imprinted, you know, spiritual intent. Where, you know, it's, okay, it looks like it might be a church or it might have some kind of power or people might come here to pray or something. It, something very spiritual. And I think mostly people who are open-minded and metaphysical go to it. And that, I think you can see it on Google Earth or Google Maps. But it's very, a very interesting place. It was closed when I was there last, so I didn't get to go in and look at it.
The I don't know. They have a little, when you walk in, they have a video you can watch of how it was constructed and the way the angles of the pillars and how if you went up. I know, I think it's like a mile and a half. If you angle the pillars up and you go straight up, I think it's like a mile. mile and a half before the lines intersect with each other, kind of like a pyramid.
Yeah. And I think that it's
very interesting, the mathematics behind it. It's pretty phenomenal. You know, why would they fix everything mathematically a certain way? You know, what's the esoteric meaning of what they're trying to get across in their architecture? I don't know.
So you think there might be an Illuminati connection?
I'm gonna take the fist on that because I don't know a lot about that subject.
All right.
So I just don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
Who does? Who does know a lot about the Illuminati?
I really probably don't want to name names, but I was talking to a lady today that I sold a car to, and she was talking about some different stars that are associated with it. But I just don't know a lot about it, you know. So I'm kind of reluctant to talk about it. I just don't really want to.
And that's cool. Well, Dave, we've sort of been on the air for about an hour, and this has been your maiden voyage. What do you think so far? We can wrap it up here in about 5 minutes if you want to.
We don't really have any it's gonna be good. You know, I'm gonna have different guests on. People see all the time, you know, on videos or on television, and just some people that I know, interesting people that I know that I'm friends with, and they're a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope that people get something out of this program, or it benefits their life in some way, you know, from every show. And so hopefully I can, you know, have fun, learn a lot of things, and, you know, help maybe make some people happy and, you know, make people feel better about themselves and, you know, make their lives go a little smoother, or their week go a little smoother, or,
right.
Or maybe have something that impacted them, and they can always come back and they can listen to the program again, which is very cool. You know, because in radio, when I was growing up, and I mean, when I listened to the radio, I would have loved to have been able to listen again to different things as I was growing up. Like, I loved Howard Stern. He's on W4 in Detroit. And all my friends, we loved Howard Stern. You know, and I would have loved to have been able to go back and hit the play button and heard some things that he did. You know, so that's pretty cool. But I enjoyed it, Kevin. And
absolutely. So I guess we'll go ahead and sign off. Do you want to draw a card or something just to let people who are going to be listening in archive about what the message is for you? Because it's like the Horizon Oracle, as you know, is that I designed it to give people a heads up of things they can expect to see in the next 90 days. So why don't you go ahead with your energy, draw one of the cards, and tell us what you think.
Yeah, I drew the planning card, the 949 card, And what this is, it shows a window, the planning code, and it shows that you're looking out of the window and you see mountains and you see a road, and it's a window of opportunity. So I got the Add a Life planning stage that on the side of the window that you're on, it's a warm, dry, and comfortable place. You know, and it's a place to sit and think and rest, and it's a place to just kick back and feel at home. And so that's a pretty fitting card, because this is the way that I would like this show to go, and I hope that I would like people to feel like they're there. They're behind that window in a safe place and they're comfortable. And it's the place to sit and think about what the rest of life has to offer its opportunity. So I hope that, you know, I'm offering something here that people enjoy and they feel comfortable with. So that's a pretty right on card.
Absolutely. So that's perfect. All right, everybody, you've been listening to Adams in the Eaves, and we plan for him to be here next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Somehow our scheduling system ended up making it an hour earlier, so we ended up pushing it an hour and a half. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. Any last words, Dave, before we sign off?
Yeah, thanks for listening, and look forward to seeing you.
All right, everybody, take care, and we'll see you around.
Take care. Have a good week.